This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 27th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look ahead at the November elections and the sometimes unassuming race for Illinois comptroller. We'll also get a weekend forecast from AM 580's meteorologist Ed Keezer. First, a look at today's news. Prevena Health has issued a court challenge to a state ruling that forces it to pay county property taxes. The owners of Prevena Covenant Hospital in Urbana have filed a request for judicial review in Sangamon County Court. The appeal to the state cites numerous errors by the Department of Revenue. Director Brian Hamers called $830,000 in charity care by the hospital an insufficient amount. But Prevena Health spokesperson Lisa Lager claims he failed to take into account millions in donations from Prevena.
$13.5 million in charitable contributions that, again, the judge had rendered as appropriate and charitable contributions to the community. So to zero in on something like $832,000 that only considers the free care we provided in 2002, we find that completely incorrect.
Lager says the decision isn't only incorrect but offensive to a faith-based provider. She says if the state's ruling stands, it would take away resources that are currently used for a number of charitable programs, including a crisis nursery in Urbana. The state's decision last month shook other not-for-profit hospitals as well. Some of them had come under fire for a lack of charitable benefits. Rod Blagojevich's office says it will not release subpoenas received in a federal corruption probe, despite findings by the Attorney General that the law requires it to do so. In findings revealed yesterday, Lisa Madigan's office concluded the Blagojevich administration is violating state public information law in its refusal. But Blagojevich's office says it will continue to withhold the subpoenas. Spokeswoman Abby Ottenhoff says the administration disagrees with Madigan's office and will keep all matters related to federal investigations confidential. Ottenhoff says even subpoenas issued by the Attorney General include language asking the recipient not to disclose the information. Blagojevich isn't required to follow Madigan's directions, as he would be if the ruling came from a judge. Oilseed producer Bunge North America and three of its subsidiaries have agreed to pay nearly $14 million in a pollution settlement that affects two plants in Danville. As part of a consent decree filed in federal court in Urbana, the government says the St. Louis-based unit of Bunge will clean up emissions at a dozen plants in eight states, including its corn and soybean plants in Danville. The government says Bunge or a subsidiary violated the Federal Clean Air Act at some or all of the plants. The Justice Department says sites were modified without permits or adherence to pollution controls. Bunge will spend an estimated $12 million on emission curbing projects and pay a $625,000 cash penalty, which will be divided among the government and the states. The authors of a national study on bullying and harassment in schools say Illinois was no exception to what they call troubling results. The New York-based Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, or GLSEN, says nearly a third of the Illinois students surveyed felt unsafe while at school because of their physical appearance or perceived sexual orientation. Meanwhile, nearly a quarter of the respondents said they were physically harassed or assaulted, while the majority reported hearing homophobic or sexist remarks. Eliza Byard is GLSEN's deputy executive director. She says schools need to initiate clear anti-bullying policies, and staff are properly trained to enforce them. She says another reason that 59% of students experience harassment is a failure to report it.
They don't seem to feel that they have allies when it comes to ending the unacceptable behavior that they're facing. And I hope that all concerned stewards of the school community and parents as well will come together to try to create a climate of safety for all students in Illinois.
Byard also encourages the startup of clubs like Gay Straight Alliances that address the issues in schools. The surveys were conducted among more than 3,000 students ages 13 to 18. The full report can be viewed online at glsen.org. The head of a local agency hopes an annual food drive starting this weekend will not only exceed its goals but raise awareness of local poverty and hunger levels. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank kicks off its Food for Families campaign tomorrow in Urbana. Executive Director Jim Heyer says the number of those served continues to go up. The average for fiscal 2006 was 31,000 people a month. Heyer says hunger is no longer a problem associated solely with one part of the local population.
the stereotype of the people that used to visit food pantries has pretty much disappeared with the fact that almost 40% of the people who avail themselves of emergency food programs are working, which that number continues to grow every year, meaning that their wages and resources haven't kept up with the increases or situations that those families find themselves in.
The goal for the two-week Food for Families campaign is to collect 185,000 pounds of food and raise $60,000. The foods needed include canned vegetables, fruit and soup, macaroni and cheese, and peanut butter. The start of the campaign runs from 9 to noon tomorrow at Urbana's Market on the Square at Lincoln Square Mall parking lot, and donations can also be dropped off at the local Schnucks, IGA, and County Market locations. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. It would be hard to find a more unassuming office in Illinois state government than that of comptroller. While responsible for paying the state's bills, the candidates running for Illinois comptroller agree it must also serve as the state's financial advisor. The Democratic incumbent says he's already taken on that role, but his Republican opponent says more can be done. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford reports.
Dan Hines never expected to run for a third term as comptroller. In fact, he had his sights set much higher on the political ladder. But a loss in the 2004 Democratic U.S. Senate primary launched the national career of Barack Obama and left Hines to ponder his next move. With no open seats in front of him, Hines has decided to stay put as the person who writes the checks for the state of Illinois.
As they say, timing is everything. I learned that very painfully in 2004 that a run for the Senate was not in the cards for me. It didn't work out. But there's no regrets. I mean, I want to make sure that while I am young and energetic and can make a real commitment, I do it in government. So if I'm in the comptroller's office, I can have an impact. If I can assume higher office and have a greater impact, I'd like to do that someday. But you can't really control events, and as long as I have a passion for what I'm doing, I'm going to keep doing it.
Hines says he's focused on the current race and his opponent, State Senator Carol Pankow. The Republican from Itasca has served for over 20 years in local and state government. She criticizes Hines for much of the state's fiscal problems, pointing out growing debt and the underfunding of state pension accounts. She says Hines has failed to do enough when bad financial policies were being passed.
It is sad that the chief fiscal control officer from this state maybe talks about an issue in his quarterly newsletter or maybe puts out a press release once a month. But in this time when our economic condition is spiraling downward, you have to have an activist comptroller. We need to pay our bills, we need to make our pension payments, and then and only then consider any new spending.
But Hines takes exception to Pankow's remarks. He says he's spoken out during the terms of both Republican and Democratic governors.
And it's been true whether George Ryan was in the governor's office or Rob Blagojevich. Here's my approach. I think people know that I have a job to do. Legislators who are friends of mine, who are in the same party as mine, or who are friends in the other party, they know that I'm going to do my job. And if it happens to be something that runs against what they want or the message that they're trying to send, they may be upset momentarily, but I think in the end they realize that I'm just doing my job.
Hines points to his refusal to pay for flu vaccine the state purchased illegally from a foreign country and could never accept. He's questioned fellow Democrat Rob Blagojevich's budget numbers and raised several red flags regarding the state's direction when it comes to spending and revenue. But his office has also found itself in a bind, having to further delay payments to hospitals, nursing homes, and others due to a lack of cash on hand. The Republican Pankow, who holds an accounting degree, says she'd streamline payments to health care providers, providing faster turnaround when federal money becomes available. Pankow also says the comptroller should use the financial records to help show lawmakers how well programs are working.
Right now, there is no way for you to measure whether a particular program works or not, whether it meets its goals, whether it's efficient and effective with the taxpayers' dollars. And basically, we're going to put in every program a goal, a measuring device. I'll be able to help the appropriation members judge whether they have, whether this program is meeting its goals, whether we're using the taxpayers' dollars wisely. If I give them good data, they'll make good decisions.
Pankow is also critical of Heinz Public push for money to pay for embryonic stem cell research, although she does favor work involving adult stem cells. Heinz also was behind a comprehensive ethics proposal that would have placed limits on campaign contributions from those doing business with the state. It failed to get a hearing in the General Assembly. The Green Party's controller candidate is Alicia Snyder of Centralia. She's a special education teacher. I'm Sean Crawford.
Our gloomy weather we've been seeing for the last couple of days will hang on for today, but a nice weekend is in store for most of the two-state area. Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says a flood watch is in effect for today through Saturday morning for portions of east-central Indiana. Today's forecast, in northern Illinois, mostly cloudy, a chance of a few scattered showers. Elsewhere, cloudy with periods of rain, which will be heaviest and steadiest in the south. Highs today ranging from 44 in northeast Indiana to 57 in far southern Illinois and Indiana. For tonight, mostly cloudy in northern Illinois, elsewhere in the state, and in southwest Indiana, cloudy with scattered showers and drizzle early and mostly cloudy overnight. In northern and eastern Indiana, rain continues, lows ranging from 34 in northwest Illinois to 42 in the south. And for tomorrow, Saturday, in northern and eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy and cool, scattered showers of rain and wet snow. But elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sun, and highs ranging from 44 in northeast Indiana to around 60 in southern Illinois. Should be mostly sunny and milder across the two states for Sunday, with highs ranging from the upper 40s in northeast Indiana to the upper 60s in southwest Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.